They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Downgraded to coach.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. No airline is immune from the crushing blow of fuel costs. The Standard & Poor's rating service has put 9 airlines on its credit watch list. All the major ones, American, United, Delta, U.S. Airways, even Southwest. Although S&P says Southwest and Alaska Air are in the best position because they bought fuel in advance at cheaper prices. Being on the list signifies the airlines are officially in dangerous financial territory. The retail business as a whole is also suffering. You know why. But the troubles at Gap started way before gas prices and food prices and all that. Gap just reported sales were down for the 15th straight quarter, but profits were up 40%. That's a little baffling. Let's check in with Marketplace's Janet Babin at North Carolina Public Radio.
So Gap is really 3 stores, Old Navy, Gap, and Banana Republic. The company's got a new CEO, and it's in the midst of a turnaround. Here's how it made money in the first quarter. It reduced inventory and slashed marketing costs. But retail sales consultant Howard Davidowitz says the stores are bleeding customers.
Old Navy has lost about 30% of its market share in the last 5 years. So if Gap keeps going the way it's going away.
Davidowitz says Gap's losing to more nimble competitors like Urban Outfitters and J.Crew. He says what Gap needs to do is clarify.
The Gap is a little bit of everything. The Gap has to decide who they want to go after and focus their business like a laser beam.
How else can you get a consumer who just paid $70 to fill up their gas tank interested in another striped cotton sweater? I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, the Dow has lost more than 400 points since Tuesday, and things aren't looking any better this morning. So far, the Dow is down 94 points in early trading to 12,530. The NASDAQ has lost 19 points, and the S&P 500 has lost 10. I've lost my throat. In Asia today, stocks finished about 1% lower. European shares are down 0.5%. Oil is trading at $132 a barrel this morning. Yesterday, we talked about a study of the world's most important oil fields. It said those fields are aging and need much more investment, or the world faces a severe supply shortage. Today, we ask the question, why aren't those fields getting enough investment? Joining us is Carola Hoyas, who covers the oil industry for the Financial Times. Carola, what's your impression?
I guess there are two answers. One is that countries such as Venezuela are using their riches to pay for social programs and to keep the government in power. Mm-hmm. That's also happening in Mexico. And there you're seeing production at oil fields drop quite substantially. But there are also other reasons. Qatar, for example, which is a natural gas country but also has oil and is a member of OPEC, as well as Saudi Arabia, the biggest exporter in the world, are slowing down their investment. Both of them are saying, we've got enough money. You know, at $135 of oil, a country like Qatar that really only has fewer than 500,000 true Qataris doesn't know what to do with its riches.
Now, where do the oil companies fit in this equation with the oil fields?
The international oil companies, as the price has gone up, have been more and more squeezed out of the main oil reserve regions of the world. As prices have gone up, countries have said, we want a bigger share of the profit. And you've seen that pretty much everywhere around the world.
What do you make of the threat by some in Congress here to sue OPEC?
I hesitate to say this, but I agree with the White House on this one. why on earth would you want to bite the hand that feeds you? Yes, you don't like the idea that they're a cartel, but I mean, look at the facts. They're the ones that control the oil. And this political instability, however it is caused, whether it is by an international war or internally, generally leads to a reduction in supplies. And the same thing works when you're suing countries. You really have to be way more pragmatic. And I do think that this, again, is a political thing rather than a really thoughtful philosophy.
Carol Ahoyas of the Financial Times, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Remember the pet food scare last year? A lot of pet owners were upset with the companies that made the food, and they filed lawsuits. Now there's been a settlement. The Canadian company Menu Foods and a few others have agreed to pay $24 million to pet owners, specifically to people who had to spend money to treat their pets. This is the Morning Report for Friday, May 23rd on Marketplace.org. Maybe here's the car you need to save on trips to the gas station. A British automaker called Axon has unveiled a new car that it says gets 80 miles to the gallon. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The Axon is a two-door hatchback which will carry two adults and two children. The makers claim that at more than 80 miles per US gallon, it's twice as fuel efficient as the Toyota Prius. Its carbon emissions are much lower, and it will sell for around half the Prius's European price. Unlike the Prius, the Axon is not a hybrid. It uses a conventional gas engine. The key is the car's very lightweight carbon fibre body. It's half the weight of the equivalent conventional vehicle. The company's boss, Steve Cousins, says there's a moral here for all car makers.
We can, using our existing gasoline infrastructure and our existing gasoline engines, radically reduce the amount of fuel that they use and still have vehicles that are very attractive to use.
He says carbon fiber is used in Formula One racing cars and is perfectly safe. The Axon's expected to sell for the same as a typical family car. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A couple of oil-rich countries announced this week they're joining together to launch a development bank. Those countries, Iran and Venezuela. From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports on these strange bedfellows.
At first glance, Iran and Venezuela don't appear to have much in common. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez calls himself a 21st century socialist. Meanwhile,
the mullahs in Iran are not leftists. I mean, these guys are very conservative, but what they share is this anti-Americanism.
That's Michael McFaul, a political science professor at Stanford University. He says Venezuela and Iran have cemented their political alliance through joint ventures in energy, agriculture, even physical education.
It's a bit reminiscent to me of the Cold War, where you have these states joining together, believing that they're fighting some kind of ideological struggle against the United States.
The new binational development bank will be based in Tehran and have $1.2 billion in startup funds. It'll finance projects in areas such as infrastructure, housing, and technology. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
I have a joke for you. One Sunday, a pastor told his congregation the church needed extra money. He said whoever gives the most can pick out three hymns. He passed the plate and announced that the winner gave $1,000. Come on up, he said. So a very quiet, elderly woman slowly made her way to the front of the church. The pastor said, "Thank you so much. Choose your hymns." Her eyes brightened, and she pointed to three of the best-looking men in the congregation and said, "I'll take him, him, and him." I didn't say it was a good joke, but my point in telling you this is that members of the clergy have to deal with a lot of things, and one of them is money. Some universities have started offering MBA-type programs specifically for church leaders. Jill Barchet has more.
Monsignor Marucci is a pastor of a Catholic church in Haddon Township, New Jersey.
I know that the people in my pews want me to be an excellent steward of their resources.
Marucci's enrolled in a new master's degree in church management at Villanova University. Charles Zeck runs the program, which launched this week. He says it's like an MBA, but tailored to nonprofit churches. There'll be classes in accounting, organizational behavior, even marketing.
We don't call it that. That's not a good word. It's evangelization.
Zeck says many parishes have millions of dollars flowing through them.
It really is a small business, and so that's part of the problem, that the priests who are in charge don't have the training, nor necessarily the inclination to do the business side.
But conservatives in the church say for priests, an MBA is a waste of time and money. Father Jerry Pokorski was a financial auditor before entering the priesthood. He helps dioceses around the country with their finances. He says focusing on the business end of the church can be a distraction.
It's very easy to start neglecting your duties as a pastor, a pastor of souls. So it's far better to be able to understand the general picture, some of the critical issues involved, and to delegate those to the laity.
Pokorski says churches should focus on basic controls, like reconciling bank statements each month. He says you don't even need a CPA for that, never mind an MBA. Even so, priests and church managers are flocking to Villanova from as far away as Ireland. The program costs $23,400. That's about what most priests make in a year. For Monsignor Marucci, Villanova is doing the brotherly thing and giving him a discount. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.